From Inner Systems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
Healthy Data Podcast. We are here today with Dr. Sandra Scott, the CEO of One Brooklyn Health, and Ron Goldman, the Chief Information Officer of One Brooklyn Health. For those who don't know, One Brooklyn Health is a safety net health system based in Brooklyn, New York, with 581 providers spread across three hospitals, community-based practices, and long-term care facilities. Sandy, Ron, thank you for joining us. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having us.
So the topic of today's conversation is the intersection of data integrity and remote patient monitoring to manage population health. I know that there, Dr. Scott, there's a program at One Brooklyn Health to ensure data integrity today. Some of that is manual processes to encourage intake personnel to be precise with data entry. And I know there are other efforts. So I'd like to ask you just right off the bat, how is One Brooklyn Health ensuring data integrity today?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to have your frontline staff recognize that they are responsible for data integrity. And I think a lot of time, those who are responsible for registration, both in the ambulatory setting, the emergency department setting, don't necessarily embrace their role with regards to data integrity. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing two things. One, there's the education that what they enter on the front end of the visit has a huge impact, you know, with data for the patient care, and then also at the back end when we're actually trying to drop claims, et cetera. And the second part is we are a Epic shop. So we implemented Epic throughout the entire system in 2021. And there are lots of reports and data available in Epic to tell you about the integrity of the data that's entered. But I don't know, Ron, if you want to chime in a little bit on that one.
Right. So while intake and clinical personnel are sort of responsible, to Sandy's point, for the accuracy of the data entered into the EMR, I would say from an IT perspective, the department plays a critical role in maintaining the structural integrity of the data once in the system. So specifically, you know, we have controlled vocabularies that we leverage, such as SNOMED and LOINC, to minimize variation. There is validation logic and error checking in the form of required fields, format options, et cetera. We also have role-based security and access controls. We prevent unauthorized or inappropriate data edits. I would say change management protocols are a big one in the form of, you know, we have governance or IT forms, committees, right, and governance structures that sort of, you know, oversee what gets changed in the system. We also have audit trails, right? So from monitoring improper use or errors in inputs. So I would say from an IT perspective, we really partner with our clinical and operational leadership to make sure that we flag as much as possible sort of the highest data integrity issues.
I appreciate that, Ron. And the reason I started off with data integrity is I'd like to transition into the remote patient monitoring conversation from a data perspective. Many of our listeners across the United States are currently engaged in finding ways to provide care in the community, whether it be hospital at home or telemedicine or other remote patient monitoring programs. Now, in January 2024, One Brooklyn Health announced a partnership between One Brooklyn Health, Kane Health, and CyberMed Health, announcing that there'd be access for patients around the clock care with wearable devices to monitor vitals from the comfort of their home with no out-of-pocket cost to patients. So a question on this, a number of questions actually, what kind of alerts or messages are triggered for the clinical care team if there's an abnormal pattern on the wearable device?
So there's two options. In some circumstances, for example, with our diabetes population, we have staff that are dedicated to monitoring the data for those fragile diabetics so that when they notice, for example, the blood sugar is creeping up and moving in the wrong direction, they actually reach out to the patient and help to mitigate worsening of their condition. So in really high risk situations, we have people who are assigned to monitor the data as it comes in. In other situations, for example, like with monitoring weight, so maybe someone with heart failure who they're weighing themselves once a day, doesn't require the same intensity of monitoring in most circumstances. And so a provider could review that data once a week or every 3 or 4 days. So it depends on the severity of illness, the condition, and how closely the data needs to be monitored.
And Ron, if you could follow up on that, I understand from Sandy that the staff are monitoring these devices, but are the devices transmitting data through your enterprise integration engine? Are there FHIR or API calls? Is there a FHIR repository? How are you accomplishing real-time data monitoring for those patient populations and getting alerts for those aberrant patients who are experiencing adverse events, as opposed to not being alerted to those who are just stable and healthy?
Right. So at this time, there's currently no integration into the EMR, but I believe the physicians or the clinicians are monitoring it within the system itself, right? So as far as what protocols that they use, those can be found within the system.
And when you say the system, do you mean Epic?
No, not in Epic, through Kane.
Kane and CyberMed. Okay, so it's external applications, external to the EHR, correct?
Correct.
Got it. And so does your current integration engine support data ingestion from your RPM program into the EHR or care management? I'm hearing you say not into the EHR. Does it integrate into the care management system or any other system, or they just live in kind of in different silos and you have to have the care managers kind of proactively reach out when they see a patient who needs care?
The latter, correct. Yeah, so they have to monitor it in the respective system. So that doesn't mean that the capability exists in Epic. Mm-hmm. We're just not there yet.
And within the system, are there automated text messages or direct messages or emails or any kind of communication within a patient with the patient that they need to do something, or is it more of like a manual process? I ask because our listeners are trying to implement similar programs.
Right. So ours is a manual process, but Ron, you might be able to speak to what's available with the software that's actually able to integrate with Epic.
Mm-hmm. Right. So once configured, obviously we'd be able to leverage, HL7 and mm-hmm. FHIR interfaces, et cetera. Those can be mapped very easily into our Epic EMR. So that way the data can be viewed. We can trend the data and insert that data into clinical workflows mm-hmm. Without users having to leave the EMR. But again, that's a step that we have not embarked on quite yet, and something that we're looking at.
What kind of thresholds or abnormal values would you want to automatically alert a care team about that is monitoring Kane or CyberMed?
So again, it would depend on the condition. I gave you an example of blood sugar for diabetics. There's blood pressure readings. Right. There's weight readings. I think those are the most common ones that mm-hmm. we use. Mm-hmm. I think blood sugar, blood pressure. I mean, your weight shouldn't change that much from day mm-hmm. to day, other than a little bit of water weight. It would depend on the metric that you're actually following. But again, the more critical ones, I think, would be blood sugar followed by blood pressure.
Got it. And so I think our listeners would love to hear about the current existing escalation workflow for the care management team. There is an alert about blood pressure, blood sugar, or weight.
Right. So on our Diabetes Center of Excellence, we actually have nurse practitioners that are specifically trained. Have specific training to monitor the blood sugar, manage the equipment, and be able to provide timely feedback to the patients. Mm-hmm. In the circumstances of heart failure, for example, the escalation goes to a provider, to a physician, I should say. Mm-hmm. Whereas the NP on the in the Diabetes Center of Excellence can escalate to a endocrinologist, but she's specifically trained to handle most of the issues that arise. So that's a circumstance where we actually have a provider monitoring the data. The other circumstances we have maybe like a care manager, not an NP or an MD that's necessarily monitoring those. In those circumstances, there's an escalation to the provider.
And is there an opportunity for patients to view their own data in a digital front door, any kind of patient portal? Or is this data mostly for clinical care providers and case managers at One Brooklyn Health?
Clinical care providers and case managers, unless you, Ron, you have something to add.
I think that's accurate, yeah.
Yeah, and has there, I guess, let's take a step back for a second. What was the impetus for rolling out this remote patient monitoring program? There's many different options across the country for different health systems to pursue. Why did you choose this option at this time?
So you mean choose this particular vendor or method that we have set up?
Generally, a remote patient monitoring program with manual workflows, as you've described it so far.
Sure. So for number one, it was our first kind of entry into this type of workflow and adoption on the part of the providers and the patients was really, you know, the heavy lift before we went into a more complex technological solution. And, you know, I think you and I spoke about this, but the highest cost of care in healthcare are patients with chronic conditions. Mm-hmm. And so chronic conditions are the diabetes, hypertension, emphysema, asthma. Mm-hmm. Those are the patients that have the highest cost of care. Population health, mm-hmm. right? And you think about how does a health system reduce the total cost of care for a population? It's managing those patients with chronic conditions. And we know that remote patient monitoring, if done properly and you have the buy-in from the patient to manage the devices in the home, to use the devices, and you have the workflows and buy-in from the providers, you can actually prevent hospitalizations, have better disease management, and therefore the cost of care, right? The cost that the healthcare costs for that individual actually goes down. And you can imagine if you take a population of patients with high blood pressure, mm-hmm. and you work with them with the technology to ping them, make sure they're compliant with their medications, their diet, they understand their blood pressure readings, and they stay out of the emergency department or stay out of the hospital, and that drives down the total cost of care. So that's really, I think, the impetus is mm-hmm. better population health management, healthier people, lower cost of care.
So when you're managing population health, analytics plays a huge role in figuring out where you are and where you're going, how effective you've been. This remote patient monitoring program has now been live for 18 months at One Brooklyn Health. Has there been any evaluation, any analytics reports have been generated to demonstrate financial result of this program?
So both in heart failure, I think we were just notified. We are, I think, got the Get With The Guidelines Heart Failure Award for One Brooklyn Health. But with heart failure, much better disease management for that population, good outcomes. And like I said, we even received an award for that. And in our Diabetes Center of Excellence, we actually have patients who would not traditionally have been offered technology that, you know, might be someone who's homeless, unemployed, might have, you know, not been considered a good client for mm-hmm. this type of technology. And they're doing extremely well, right? So with the right education, the right navigators, the right providers, the right support, even populations that one would think are traditionally not capable of complying with the complexity of remote patient monitoring, they're doing extremely well. And both of those populations, say for sure, we've had excellent outcomes.
Just from an operational point of view, you're distributing physical devices and they sometimes break, especially if you're a homeless population. Are you cycling through and getting alerts if a feed from one of the wearables goes offline?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. And like I said, you would imagine that it would be a difficult population to manage, but they're doing quite well, particularly actually in both heart failure and diabetes. They're doing quite well.
Have providers requested integration of this data into the EHR? Is this working in concert? I guess, how well are the Epic's best practice advisors meeting your clinicians' need for real-time clinical decision support? Is there a request for this to be integrated to support that?
So Ron, you want to talk about all the requests we have for integration? Absolutely, yes.
So there are always requests for integration, right? So from a BPA perspective, best practice advisory perspective, just to be more specific, obviously the functionality exists within Epic. They effectively support our clinicians in making real-time decisions. So as far as the BPA effort altogether, we maintain a structured review process that includes regular meetings, right? So just to see how effective the BPAs are, we evaluate that with clinical leadership make sure that the impact to workflows are optimal. We adjust the thresholds to try to limit alert fatigue, right? Mm-hmm. So this helps us ensure that the BPAs are clinically relevant, actionable, and aligned with patient safety goals, right? So we work collaboratively with stakeholders, clinical stakeholders, to make sure that we're alerting appropriately and effectively.
And is there any kind of, how would you say you plan on responding in the future? Do you have any roadmap to combine clinical claims and device data to create a kind of source of truth on each of these high-risk patients? Is there any value that One Brooklyn Health would see in integrating all those different disparate data sources?
Absolutely, yeah. So Epic would be our source of truth. So we would look to create those integrations into our EMR. And take full advantage of that single pane of glass so that our clinicians, don't have to jump from solution A to solution B.
And I did notice online there was an announcement that One Brooklyn Health has a cloud-enabled version of an enterprise integration engine. Any reason why that integration engine is not pulling in this wearable data into Epic?
Right, so it's just a question of timing, right? And making sure that we prioritize all of the various integration requests that we have. To Dr. Scott's point earlier, we have multiple requests for integration. It's just a question of slotting it and making sure that we can facilitate.
Yeah. Got it. And then kind of backing up to a question about population health management, technically, how do you identify rising risk patients within your total patient population prior to a patient encounter before they become high cost? So we think that of these 15,000 people, these 500 are really going to be the high priority chronic condition people. They haven't seen a doctor in the last year, but we think they should. How do you target that cohort?
That's an excellent question. So we're actually, many health systems have already put in place a chronic disease management program. We're a relatively new health system. And so our one of the initiatives we're embarking upon now is to create for the entire system, a registry of patients, for example, with hypertension. I mean that Epic facilitates those types of registries. Today, we largely focus on those patients who are already high risk, but you make a very good point, right? From that registry, you can include patients who, you can divide the patients into those who are extreme high risk, those who are in trouble, and those who are potentially will be in trouble. So I know that many organizations, we're a relatively new health system, and we have programs. We work, like you said, three different hospitals, and we're working today to bring together the workflows of the three hospitals into one. And then ideally, New York State actually has social care networks, an entire statewide program to manage social determinants of health and to do population health management. Mm-hmm. We will be able to not only look at our system, but we'll be able to look at the population beyond our system and the population of patients who have a chronic condition that we share with other health systems. So ideally, it's not hospital system based and it's regionally based, right? And so that the multiple health systems within one region can manage the same population together. That's really the ideal state. And both those that are, for example, pre-diabetic and those that are actually diagnosed with diabetes.
Great. I would just add to that, if I may. So Epic has a solution called Healthy Planet, right? And this is how we were able to leverage sort of like what's happening across various other systems, right? And pull that information in. Mm. And we can also leverage predictive analytical tools as well as risk stratification models based upon that solution.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, Ron. And I guess you're probably generating a lot of those dashboards in Radar in order to create those analytical reports that Dr. Scott was speaking about. Doctor, we are approaching the end of the podcast episode, but a few more quick questions. You raise an interesting point. One Brooklyn Health is managing high-risk patients in a dynamic geographical footprint where these patients may easily find themselves in an emergency room of a different health system. They may be in Mount Sinai one day, New York City Health and Hospitals, One Brooklyn Health on Tuesday, and 3 weeks from now, they may be in Northwell, right? It's a very mobile population. It could be homeless. Now, there are HIEs in the area. There's HealthX, for one. And there's national health exchanges. You mentioned how you're managing patients that are wholly within your population, but of course, patients are getting care everywhere. How do you see yourself, other than care everywhere through Epic, managing these patients as they move between different health systems?
So our payers have actually been really good partners, right? So the payers, for example, Health First, mm-hmm. a large percentage of our patients are insured by Health First, mm-hmm. and we share data with them and they share data with us. So if the patient is receiving care in multiple locations, their payer knows this. And so one of the ways we help to manage certain populations is in collaboration with our payers and the data that they also provide to us. So we'll have a specific metric. Today I was actually talking about substance abuse disorders and how we can facilitate more touches with patients who present to the emergency departments with substance use disorders. Well, our payers can also provide information about where that patient might be landing, in the emergency department across Brooklyn. But Ron, did you want to add anything to that one?
Right, sure. Excellent point, Dr. Scott. So we also participate in last year, we were coined, One Brooklyn Health was coined as data champions, right? Based upon our participation with HealthX. So there are a number of different ways that we participate and can share data.
Got it. We are approaching the end of the episode, so I'd like to ask each of you for a final statement. Our listeners are across the United States in comparable positions in large health systems everywhere. On the topic of intersection of data integrity and remote patient monitoring to manage population health, what would you say, and I'll start with Dr. Scott and then I'd love to end up with Ron here. What would you say to someone listening who's wondering how to improve data integrity in their organization, how to better manage their population health, other patient population, and is remote patient monitoring the right direction that they'd like to go in order to help achieve those ends?
Absolutely. And I think our story is a good story because we didn't start with the most complex technology and workflows. So the most important thing is to put your toe in the water of remote patient monitoring. And if you don't have the resources to have the fancy bells and whistles, there are many ways that you can institute remote patient monitoring to help the populations that you serve. And I think the most important thing is to give it a try. Technology absolutely can improve population health. And I encourage people to go for it.
Thank you, Dr. Scott. Ron?
Sure. So I would say data, right? So it's important to make sure that we are facilitating and arming our clinicians with as much data as possible. And while we're still in our early stages of remote patient monitoring, as far as integration goes, we're looking forward to physicians are armed with as much information to make informed decisions as possible.
Well, I'd like to thank you both for joining us. Again, for our listeners, this has been Sandy Scott, the CEO of One Brooklyn Health, and Ron Goldman, the CIO of One Brooklyn Health. Ron, Sandy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having.
Thank you.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.